Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody good?
Yes.
It's a great Father's Day. I tell you, we introduced a new song today that I'd never heard before. But I'll tell you, that was an awesome song. Such good words, such truth. You know, I'm a firm believer that praise and worship is not entertainment. I know in some places they make it entertainment. It's not about a show. And the songs that we try to sing preach a message. And that's what it's about. It's sharing the message in song. And it gives us something to respond to in worship to our God in thanksgiving for all that He's done in our lives. I was just so blessed by that song. All right, we're going to begin our new, we're going to continue our Church 101. We've talked about the origin of the church and we've talked about several different things, but today we're going to talk about our purpose, and we're going to talk about believers. Last week we shared the story, I shared my story, how it intermingles with the story of the church and where believers came from, what it was about, to where we are today. So we're going to begin talking about what we are really, really about. My goal is to build together a strong church that leaves a impact on our community. We're not here just to have church. We're here for a lot of different reasons, and we want to have impact. You know, I've said this 100 times. I'm going to say it one more time. And I heard somebody say this, and I thought it was really, really good. If for some reason, all of a sudden, your church disappeared, would your community notice, or would it even care? And I think that's a good question we need to ask ourselves from time to time. Because it says something about the nature of what your church is about. So many churches are inward focused only. You know, we're about us for no more. What is for my comfort? What is for my benefit? And, you know, and a lot of times people kind of, they shop churches like they shop grocery stores or, you know, and something like that. We do need to visit churches to find out where we fit, but it's not all about what is just good for me, what meets my needs. And I think the church ought to meet our needs, but what I'm saying is, do I see myself as a vital part of that church's heart and vision? So that's why we're sharing our purpose today. I want to read a verse. I don't have this one on the overhead because we don't have this particular translation. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It says, "Let there be real harmony among you so that there won't be any splits in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose." Now, the word harmony, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means this: the combination of simultaneously sounded musical notes to produce chords and chord progressions having a pleasing effect. In other words, harmony, you know, I think about the old the quartet singers, you know, the soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, how they sing the same song, they sing different notes, but it just all blends together. And that's kind of the ideal of what harmony is about. Now, when I read that definition, I had a flashback. Used to, when we would go on vacation, we would go to the lake in Missouri, and took a lot of time to get there. So we did a lot of things. We played the ABC game. But one of the things we did is we played 50s and 60s music. We would find an oldie station where they would sing the good music, you know, 60s, you know, CCR and all of that, you know, that good music. And our boys in the back seat, they had a little singing group called the Pickleheads. And they would sing harmony. That was not the definition of harmony. They would sing along and it was hilarious. They, it was all over the place. But we laughed and cried and, you know, just had a great, great time. The Pickleheads singing those old songs and trying to sing harmony. But harmony has to do with something that blends together. And Paul in this, he says, you need to make a sound together. You may sing different notes, but somehow it all blends together in a pleasing sound. And that's a picture of what the church ought to look like. I love the Psalms 133. We've got this one for you. How good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there, now look at this, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. King James says the Lord commands the blessing. God is pleased when his people live together in unity and in harmony together. It's just a wonderful thing. We may not all sing the same notes, but somehow our notes being unique, when you hear the sound of it, it is something that is very, very pleasing. And that's what the body of Christ should look like. That's what the body of Christ should look like. Now, I know that we're not all going to agree on everything. You know, you take a non-denominational church, and that's what we are. We have people from every kind of background that you can imagine. Let's just do a little survey here real quick. I was raised United Methodist. Anybody else raised United Methodist? Okay, not very many Methodists. How about Baptists? That ought to be a big one. Yes, thank God for the Baptists. How about Church of Christ? We got some Church of Christ. What about Assembly of God, Pentecostal, Full Gospel? Okay, we got some of those. Catholic, we got some Catholics. Lutherans. What else we got? Episcopal. Episcopalians, pistol packing pagans. Yes, and what else? How about heathen? We got some heathens. People that were raised in all kinds of different churches. And you know what? You're going to have differences of opinions about certain things. And I read this quote, and I love it, and I think it's sound wisdom. And it says this: in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. There are some things that are essential to our faith. There are some things that cannot be compromised. God is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the creator of man. Jesus Christ is Lord. He was born of a virgin. You know, his death, his burial, his resurrection, those things are essentials to our faith. We have to have unity in those things. But you know, there are other things that are not essentials. They may be important, but they're not essentials. And there may be honest disagreements on, because we kind of see through a glass darkly. I mean, we have the word and you know, you can take the Bible and you can twist it and do certain things. And we were all raised in different backgrounds and different things like that. And we can have differences of opinions on non-essentials. And so in those areas, we need liberty. I might disagree with you about a particular point. There's a lot of disagreement in the body, open or closed communion. That's a non-essential, okay? Those are non-essentials. We can name several different things, and I don't want to get into that. But there's so many different things that we could that people want to make essentials that are not essentials. Are you getting my drift? That those things may be important, particularly, they may not be important. I know there's a big rage right now is, you know, what translation of the Bible is the inspired translation? Well, I want to say something that's going to sound weird. No English translation is inspired. The original was inspired, okay? It was not English, okay? And for somebody to say, well, you know, the King James Bible is the only true Bible. Well, what did we have before we had King James? King James came along in about 1611. So what did we have that, did we not have a Bible that was inspired before then? And you know, so King James is fine. I like the King James Bible. But it's not the only Bible that I read. And so I will respect a person that says, okay, I believe that you ought to just read King James. I respect that. And I'll grant liberty for people like that until they begin to make that an essential. That is not an essential. That is, there's things that are not essential, but they may be important. But in all things, charity. See, this is the thing that God called us to be and do, is to walk in love with everybody, that we, you know, with all our power within us, to live at peace and to walk in peace with everybody in the body of Christ. Because there is a diversity in the body of Christ. Non-denominational is not the only group that's going to heaven. There will be some Church of Christ there. There will be, hey, there might be a few Baptists there. A Methodist or two might make it. Pentecostals will be there if they don't run past it. You know, so, you know, we're just, when we get there, I love something John Osteen said years ago. He says, titles, here's what titles are good for. He says, if you go up, they blow off. If you go down, they burn off. We will not be known as Methodists and Baptists and Church of Christ and Catholics and Protestants in heaven. You know what we're going to be? We're going to be the body of Jesus Christ. Come on now. And that's what we're going to be about. That's what we're going to be about. And that's, this is the kind of church that I want us to be. We want diversity. I want denominational diversity. I want racial diversity. I want this to be a place that anybody can come and feel comfortable, especially unbelievers. I want unbelievers to be able to come here and feel comfortable and not judged and condemned. Now I'm gonna talk about that in a minute, because everybody needs a space. At one time, you were an unbeliever. If you were raised in church, you were an unbeliever at one time. And there is a church that loved you enough to kind of put up with you as you discovered your faith, because there are people that are honestly looking for faith, and they're trying to discover their faith. And we can be a facilitator of people finding faith, or we can be a hindrance to people finding faith. And listen, you can do that without compromising, okay? You can do that without compromising. Sometimes it's a balance, but you can do it. So here's our hope today, is I want you to see the heart of your church, of what your church is about. Because I want you to be a part of your church. This, people call this my church. Can I just tell you something? I don't own this church. This is not my church. First of all, it was not started by me. It was, God gave a word to a man in 1979 to come and start this church. And it was a church that was started by the direction of the Lord. So first of all, it's God's church. It's Jesus' church. And God chose me to kind of lead this church, but it's still not my church. This is our church. This is our church. This is what we are about. It's my responsibility to cast vision for this and to study and pray and seek God and cast vision for this. And it's our responsibility together to rally around the vision based on the Word of God, not based on my opinion. So I want you to see the heart of your church. That's my goal in this. So let me give you a purpose statement. Why we exist as a church. Believers exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus Christ so that they might experience a life of purpose and fulfillment that God always intended for them. Now, there are different kinds of churches in our world. I'm going to talk about a diversity. And I'm not talking about denominations here at all, because within denominations, there are these kind of churches. First of all, there is the legalistic church. And some of you were raised in legalistic churches, no matter what your background is. There are Pentecostal churches that are legalistic. There are Church of Christ churches that are legalistic. There are Baptist churches that are legalistic. Legalism basically says that I have to do good deeds in order to have standing with God. Now, I might be saved by grace through faith, but I have to perform in order to have favor with God. A lot of that has to do with my performance. And we see this among the Jews. And this is, they were law keepers. And you have pastors who try to impose on people opinions and laws that the way that you get right with God is by keeping these laws. And sometimes it's maybe the Ten Commandments, and I'm for the Ten Commandments, okay? But I didn't get saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. I was a breaker of the Ten Commandments. Anybody else a breaker of the Ten? Yeah, come on, you better get that hand up. You lying little dog, you. Come on, we all broke some of the commandments. And James tells us that if we want to live by the commandments in order to be justified, we have to keep them perfectly. That if you break one of the commandments, that you're guilty of the whole thing. Guess who's guilty? All of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it's not about what we have done, it's about what He has done. And sometimes people want to make, legalistic churches want to make it about man's performance. Man's performance. We don't want to be a legalistic church. Now, on the other spectrum, there is the liberal church. And the liberal church says, you know, it doesn't really matter that much what you believe, because we're all going to the same place. And it doesn't really matter how you live. Just have faith. I don't want to be that kind of church either, because that opens the door to a lot of things that are very destructive. Both of these can be very destructive. Legalism can be very destructive because you have no assurance of your relationship with God. You're always condemned. And in this, on this other side, really you have no conscience. You harden your heart. You have to harden your conscience to say, okay, it doesn't matter. It's all good. It's all okay. That's not what God is about. What we want to be is something in the middle, and we call it a life-giving church. A life-giving church. We want to represent truth. I believe that truth is constant. I believe truth is knowable. And I believe that truth is found in Jesus Christ revealed through the Word of God. That's a good spot to say amen. It really is. So, we could be, we're not a legalistic church. We're not a liberal church. Some people think we're liberal. We don't have a dress code. We let women wear pants. We're not that way. And some people think that we're liberal. I wear shorts sometimes. Boy, I saw a holiness preacher the other day at the store, and he looked me over. I had my shorts on. I'm going to hell now. Boy, for sure I'm going to hell. No wonder we get made fun of. As the outside looking at the church, no wonder we get made fun of. Because we have majored so much on minors and non-essentials, and we have not really represented what we were called to represent. That thing that started when the church was birthed. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, you know, that's the thing that we have to represent. So we have a, can you put, yeah, our logo right here in the lower corner here, the cross with the arrows. And that is strategic because our logo is reach up, reach in, reach out. And we try to build a everything that we do around one of those issues. Today, you know what we're doing? We're reaching up. We're reaching up. That is the most important thing that we do as a church, is reach up. If it don't start with God, then guess what? We've missed it. It's not about reaching out first. It's not about reaching in first. It's about reaching up. But because before you can ever reach in or reach out, guess what? You've got to connect with God. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. And you know, the first commandments, somebody asked Jesus one time, of all of these commandments, which is the greatest? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's number one. And if we don't have that right, nothing else that we do matters. We cannot do unless we have reached up to God, that we're connected with God and that we, listen, daily connect with God. We're not supposed to have love God. We're supposed to love God all the time. He's supposed to be number what? One in our life. And you know, that means sometimes we've got to go back and we've got to examine where we are in this. We have to examine our hearts and making sure that we're on course, because we live in, is anybody here busy? Just a few of us. We're busy, aren't we? We live in a busy society that we have so many demands on our time. And if we're not careful, you know what? The first thing that we let slip is our connection with God, our fellowship with God, our time with God, our talking to God, our reading in His Word and spending time and communing with God. We let that slip. Have you ever got to the end of your day and you're fixing to go to bed and you think, oh, I forgot to pray. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sleepy. Good night, Lord. I'll make it up some other time. And you know, if we have to make sure that our life centers around reaching up to God. Our work, what we do on our job. Listen, it's not just a job, it's a vocation. A vocation is something that you do for the glory of God. You know, God gave us our ability and our talents and our ability to work. And anything that God has given us to do, we ought to do for Him. You don't work for your employer. You work for God. And if you will keep in your mind that, okay, through my work, I'm reaching up to God, you will do a whole lot better than what you won't be working for a company or an individual. You'll do a better job when you realize that what you're doing is a worship to God. So reaching up is our first thing. And it's not just about what we do when we come here on Sunday morning. It's something that we do every day of our life. Anything that we're involved in ought to be a reach up to God. Whether it's our recreation, we ought to find ways to make it to point to God some way through our lives. The second thing that we talk about is reach in. That's the arrow that points to the center of the cross. That has to do with, first of all, our fellowship as the body of Christ. You should like each other. You should like each other. It's not tolerate each other. Now, I realize that liking somebody sometimes means that you have to overlook things about people. How many of you know that people are not perfect? That Christians are not perfect? That members of your family are not? Your spouse is not perfect? Don't you say amen. You'll be in the doghouse. Your children are not perfect. You know, it's amazing how sometimes your children just drive you up a wall, but you like them and you love them. Shouldn't we do the same thing with the body of Christ when we come together? We're different, we're diverse, we got different personalities, we got different giftings, we got different things, and we should prefer one another. I like worshiping with you. I like being with you. I like being around you. I like you being here. I like talking to you. The sad thing for me is there's one of me and there's probably 120 of you here today. So I don't get to talk to everybody and get to know everybody like I'd like to. But being able to be a part of the same body and work together is such a blessing. That's part of reach in. But it's also a part of discipleship. And we'll talk about that later, about learning together. This is not just for discipleship here today, okay? Our Sunday services are geared for particular things, and part of it is discipleship, but that's not all of it. So there's things that we need to do. Let me tell you about something, and I need to say this every now and then. We offer through this church something that even when we're not having small groups, that you can do personal Bible study. It's called Right Now Media. And we subscribe to it. We pay a couple $100 a month for online Bible studies that you can log into, and you can study just about anything that you want. You can study marriage, raising children. You can study books of the Bible. You can study different topics. There are things for teens. There's things for little kids on there. I think it's VeggieTales on there and Boz the Bear. Boz the Bear. Are any of you raised on Boz the Bear? Yes, that's what I thought. Good old Boz the Bear. So there's all kinds of things that are available on there. If you're not using that, you ought to use it. You ought to look at it. All kinds of different speakers. I bet there's several hundred Bible studies on there. And if you would like, give me your email address and I will send you an invitation. You'll create an account, log into that, and you can for free. It's not free, but it's free to, because you give here, it's free to you. It don't cost you extra to do that. So if you're interested in that, give us your email address and start using that. If you have subscribed to that and are not using that, let me encourage you. Part of discipleship is learning. See, one of the things that the shepherd does is that he leads us to the green pastures. I can't make you eat, but I can lead you to the green pastures, okay? And one of the greatest things in discipleship is that we do need to study together. I believe in small groups. I believe in large groups. But when it really comes down to it, you have got to learn to be a self-feeder, okay? When we're babies, we feed, don't we? We stick the bottle in the mouth. But you know what? When you've been a Christian 5 years, we don't need to still stick the bottle in your mouth, okay? We need to point you to the green grass and say, there it is, eat. Here it is, eat. So part of reaching in is learning to learn and learning to follow and learning to be obedient to the Lord. And we will offer some small groups when we get through the summer here. We've got a Thursday night Bible study that meets here that you could be a part of. We got other things going on. So that's reach in. Reach in. Okay, the third one is reach out. Reach out. And Joe shared with me an acronym for reach that we got from Stephen Sexton. R is remember. Remember, we are salt and light. That's something that we need to remind ourselves as we go out into our workplaces, as we go out into our world, that we are salt and light. What does salt do to food? It adds flavor. And everywhere you are as a Christian, you ought to add flavor to your environment. In the workplace, you should add flavor. When you go to Walmart, there's a ministry at Walmart. Did you know that? You ought to add flavor. You know, if you're harping at the checkers and you're fussing and griping, don't you just hate to be around gripey Christians? Come on now. I like pleasant Christians. You go to a restaurant and you gripe at that waitress and then you don't tip her. That's not salt or light. So we need to remember that we are salt and light. E, engage the lost. Engage the lost. Just talk to people. Just talk to people. Listen to people. It's amazing. I have gone, Kathy can tell you, I can go into a restaurant and sit down and the waitress will come up and start, you know, taking our order. And the first thing you know, they're just spilling their guts about everything. They're telling us their life story. You know, and you can just kind of feed along with that. And you know, you can engage people who are lost. And, you know, you can steer the conversation around to spiritual things. It's not hard to be a witness. A, accept the Great Commission. Let me ask you a question. Whose job is it to do the Great Commission? Is it the local church as a whole? Yes, but is it also to us as individuals? Big yes. Big yes. Let me ask you a question, personal question. Do you have a target? Is there somebody in your life that is a target who is lost that you're building a relationship with so that you can share your faith with them? If not, why? We need to be targeting people. We need to engage. We need to accept the fact that the Great Commission is my responsibility. The Great Commission is your responsibility. Then the C stands for challenge. And that challenge, and here's the big one, is go. Yeah, but I'm a, what's that word? I'm afraid. What if they reject me? What if they put me down? What? I had rather be put down than to say to someday to God, hey, I was afraid. I was afraid. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed, and I didn't do it. Can I just tell you, if you'll listen to God, He'll guide you to people who need encouragement, who need to hear the gospel, and you can do it. It's not hard. It's not hard. Then here is the H, and this is a good one. Honor everyone. Honor everyone. Don't go in there like a super saint. Don't go in there judging people and putting people down. Go in there and engage and honor everyone. That you treat people like you want to be treated. I had a... My coffee drinking group at one time, we used to meet at McDonald's, but they kind of closed the lobby for a while. But we had a guy who drank coffee with us. He's gone on to his reward now. And his claim to fame was that he was a proud card-carrying member of the ACLU. And he was liberal, 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 liberal. I am not liberal, okay? I'm very conservative. And I have noticed him, he would get in conversations with people that would argue with him, and he'd get mad and just cuss. And you know, he was very smart. He was a professor. And I would sit down and talk to him, and we would talk about the same issues. And I would listen to him, and he would listen to me, and we honored each other. Did we change each other? No, because he was what he was. But I was able to have a conversation to try to understand, and he tried to understand me. And if you go in with that attitude, you would be surprised at the people that you could reach with the gospel. If you go in as a know-it-all, or if you go in and you get mad and you start slinging stuff at people, They're not going to listen to you anyway. You might as well just be quiet. But if you'll be respectful and honor people, guess what? They will listen to you. So let me give you a quick, and we're going to close this, how to win people to Christ. Number one, accept the personal responsibility. It is our responsibility to share the gospel. It's our responsibility to share our story. Number two, build a personal relationship with people. I am of the opinion that we should have friends who are unbelievers. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you go party with them. I'm not saying, that's not what I'm saying. But you should have people in your life who do not know Christ. They may be people at work. They may be family members. There may be people that God brings in your path. And we should build a relationship with them. Build a relationship with them. Number three, share your personal story. Here's an easy way to witness. This is easy. Tell your story. Every one of us have a story of how we came to Christ. Every one of us has a story how God worked in our lives. And you say, well, I don't know how to preach. You really don't have to preach. Share your story. Just share what God has done for you and how you came to Christ. And then the fourth thing is give a personal invitation. At some point in this relationship, you don't do it the first time you establish a relationship. You build a rapport with them and you talk to them. You may take them out to eat. You may bake them a pie. I don't need to bake them a pie. But, you know, but do nice things. Sow into people. And you know what? A lot of times people will come to a difficult time in their life, and guess who they're going to come talk to? They're going to come talk to the person of faith. Can I just tell you something? It's a secret. Faith in Christ is attractive. When they see a life established through faith in Christ, and they see the character in you and how that you don't get frazzled every time something bad happens, that you're consistent and you're focused and you're all of these things, that is attractive to people because they don't have that in their lives. So guess what you can do? They'll come to you and you can share your story, and then you can give that invitation. I got about halfway through this message. To be continued next week. Amen? Hey, this is what we're about. This is what our church is about. We are a hospital. We are a life-giving center. We want people to come in here and we want to add value to their lives. We want to see the Holy Spirit challenge them, even convict them. And this is the difference in not being liberal. We want to represent truth. Truth will pierce to your very heart. Truth kind of shows us where we are. Can we stand together? Prayer team, would you come? If you have needs here today, come. If you need to find Christ as Lord and Savior, feel free to come. Today can begin your journey of faith. Let's worship. Can we do that?